Parshas Balak opens with the country of Moab in a tizzy. Balak, the king, is terrified. He feels that the Israelite nation is going to overrun his nation, and he has no hope but to fight fire with fire. His secret service comes back with a report that the power of Moshe Rabbeinu is by virtue of his mouth or his prayer. And so he taps Bilam, the soothsayer, one-eyed prophet, from the land of Midian, which is also his homeland, his place of birth and origin, and he asks him to come and imprecate or curse the Jewish people. And Bilam is keen to do this. He's an old hater of Am Yisrael. In fact, Bilam participated in the original final solution. This was the plan that was hatched by the Pharaoh at the advice of Bilam. You guessed it. So Bilam has this deep-seated and pernicious hate for the Jewish people, and as such, he very much wants to go, but Bilam knows that unless he gets permission from God, there's no way he's going to go. God says, don't go. He says, okay, I'll curse them from here. God says, don't curse them. He says, I'll bless them. God says, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. Like you tell the bee, don't give me your bite, don't give me your honey. That's fine, we don't need you. But Bilam doesn't exactly tell the people that's the problem. And he says, you know, with people like you, with this low-level diplomatic mission, I can't go. Intimating that it's all about his honor and his glory, and some of this will be a loss of dignity for Bilam, which ultimately reflects on a loss of dignity for what Bilam represents, and so on and so forth. And so they play the game, and they send a higher level of diplomatic mission, and Bilam finally gets, so to speak, permission. At night, he has this nocturnal vision. Chapter 22, verse 20, the end of the second reading, when Parshas Balak is read independently, Vayovo Yalekim el Bilam. God comes to Bilam Laila at night. Vayomer lo, and God says to Bilam, Im likrei lecha bo hanoshim, if they have come to call you, nu, kum lechitam, then you can go with them. However, here is the proviso. However, remember, it's only the things that I will be speaking to you. Those are the things that you will be doing. So what was Bilam thinking? Bilam knows that he's not going to be able to curse the Jewish people. So Rashi says, what's the im? Im rik likre lecha. If they're coming to call you. What do you mean if? That's what this is about. So Rashi says, Im hakriya shalcha. If you think you will benefit, if you think that this is to your advantage, if you think so, v'sovar ato lito leha socha, you plan to make a living, you plan to be rewarded handsomely, whether you succeed or not. So if that's what this is about, all right, kum lechitam, then you can go with them. However, you must know that only the things that I am going to allow you to say will you be able to say. In other words, the going itself is not problematic. And in fact, the going itself is not bad in the end. The going itself becomes a source of goodness for the Jewish people. Precisely because Bilam went, did amazing blessings unfold for Am Yisrael, including the words of Matovu, which we together recite, chant, sing on a daily basis. Some of the most extraordinary and beautiful prophecies. In fact, the coming of Mashiach is alluded to first, directly, in the prophecies of Bilam. So the going itself is not problematic. And God tells that to Bilam. He says, you want to go? You can go. Just remember, it's what I'm going to put in your mouth that you're going to be able to say. Va'ach, however, al korchacha, it's the thing that I will say to you, so that's what you will do. So you're not going to change all the blessings. Rashi says, Bilam went not for the advantage or virtue of the Jewish people, not because he thought he would become a fountain of goodness for the nation of Israel, but rather, Omar, he said, Shema afatenu v'yisratze, Maybe I can get through to God. Maybe I can sweet talk him and coax him. Maybe God will listen. And then I will be able to do as I pleased. So what was Bilam thinking? God says don't. God says you can't. God warns him only with the words I'm going to be able to put in your mouth. Obviously, what was God telling him here? Bilam was no fool. God says to him, only the words I tell you to say. What does that mean? A child knows. If only the words I tell you to say, it means only the words I tell you to say and no other words. So the Abarbanel explains it like this. He says Bilam was a visionary. Perhaps he only had one terrestrial eye that worked, but he had vision. And in his vision, he saw the suffering, the chagrin, the shame, the disgrace, and the destruction that the Jewish people would endure. He saw Golus. He saw destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. He saw pogroms. He saw Holocaust. He saw it all. And seeing this, Bilam knew that in the end, Poronius, terrible times would be coming to the Jewish people. So he thought, perhaps I can simply accelerate things. That's what's coming anyway. So I can curse. I'm not creating something ex nihilo. It's there. It's in their cards, so to speak. It's part of their destiny. I just have to hasten it. But of course, that was totally off mark, as we know, and Bilam doesn't get to do any of that. And so Bilam, now having received permission to go, because without permission he couldn't go at all, we hear in the beginning of the third reading, Vayokom Bilam, Bilam rises, Baboiker, early in the morning. He doesn't sleep in this next day. In other words, this is an exciting day. This is a happy day for Bilam. Bilam is going to now strike out at his enemies, the Jewish people. Vayachbosh es asoyne. He saddles his donkey. Vayelech im sari Moav, and he goes with the ministers, a diplomatic mission of Moav. So Rashi says, there's something profoundly strange about this verse. Bilam woke in the morning, Vayachbosh es asoyne. And Bilam, he saddled the donkey. Let me give you an example. The president woke up in the morning, or the prime minister woke up, and he filled the gas in the car for the road trip. Now that doesn't happen. The chauffeur, whatever it is, the staff will take care and make sure that the donkey is saddled. Bilam was a wealthy man, a successful man, a famous man, a person who was known far and wide. As we read already in Rashi of yesterday's portion, that Bilam was a person who was consulted by magistrates, by dukes, by princes, by kings, by governments. The whole world beat a path to Bilam's door. Bilam himself saddled the donkey? Bilam himself took the SUV for an oil change before the road trip? Something's not making sense here. So Rashi says, indeed, something isn't making sense. And Mikan, from here we can see, Shahasina Mikalkeles Esh HaShura. So you have to translate this right. Shura literally translates as a row. So for example, a shur could be a row of bricks, like a brick wall where everything is lined up. It's also called a shur or a share. Shura could be a line that people stand in because, you know, they have been visited by the wonders of communism and nobody has bread unless you stand in line. So that was what it could mean. Shura could also be the lines that define life or the realities, the social norms. Here's the lines. Like people say, they don't color outside the lines. You stay in the lines. This is what's appropriate. This is what's not. So Bilam did something which is mekalkel. It somehow made the lines blurry. The lines, the clearly defined delineation of what Bilam does and doesn't do, what's a Bilamite behavior and what's not appropriate behavior for Bilam, suddenly got blurred. Why? Because of emotion. Because emotion does that. When people get very emotional about things, then they're not doing logic, rhyme, and reason. They're not falling within the fault lines of what's acceptable behavior or not. What kind of emotions could we have? People can get hateful. And hate is a very powerful emotion that twists and disfigures. Hate is an emotion that gets people to do things they never wanted to do, or they never would typically do. They can't believe themselves what they did. And why was that? Because they got emotionally carried away. And they got carried away, so sinna is mikalkelis. Sinna kind of ruins the lines of regular, normal, appropriate behavior and blurs them with behavior that's actually totally inappropriate. So the sinna, Bilam's great hate, caused him to suspend the normal lines of appropriateness, what Bilam does and Bilam doesn't do. How do we know this? Shachava Shuba Atzmai, because he himself saddled the donkey. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rashi says, Almighty God himself comments on this situation. And he says, Rasha, wicked person, Kvar Kidemcha Avram Avihim. Their father Avram already came before you. And their father Avram, when he got the most difficult mission in his life, to take his only son Yitzchak and to bind him as an offering, and he thought to slaughter him, he didn't sleep in the next day, but rather he woke up early the next morning. Shenemar, as it's written in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, Vayashkem Avraham Baboiker, Avraham rose early in the morning, Vayachbeish Es Chamoiroi, and he too saddled his donkey. Avraham was also a wealthy man and a famous man. He also didn't fill the gas or the oil changes by himself. So why is it that he saddled his own donkey? And the answer is that we learned that ha'ahava, that the love and the loyalty that Avraham Avinu felt for Almighty God was so powerful, so profound, that it made him do things that he wouldn't usually typically do. It was inappropriate, not as in a bad thing. It's just he doesn't do that. It's not Avraamite behavior. But Avraham did this because of his love for Hashem. That's what Rashi says. So, something doesn't seem to make sense here. I mean, this is the way we simply learn the Pasuk. Like, it's as if we need Avraham Avinu's love to serve as a counterweight to Bilam's negativity, to Bilam's hate. Why does Bilam's hate need to be countered? Why does the love of Avraham have to somehow diffuse the hatred of Bilam? It's as if the hatred of Bilam is some kind of merit, some kind of schus, and therefore he's going to get rewarded for it. So Hashem says, oh, don't worry about it. Bilam's hatred, which is such a wonderful thing that's going to earn him brownie points, has already been eclipsed by Avraham Avinu, who did something more appropriate. What does that mean? On the contrary, if Bilam behaves hatefully, it's another demerit. It shows that he's not objective about things. He doesn't really care about things, judging them by their own merit, by their own virtue or value, but rather how it feels for him. He has a personal bias, a personal hatred. That's it, I'll lash out at them. Why would you need Avraham Avinu's Ava? It's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not the Malachim even. Sometimes we have this conversation where the angels say, no, here's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Medrash Tanchuma says, God himself said, Rasha, wicked person, Kvar Kidemcha Avraham Avihim. Avraham Avihim already came before you. It doesn't make any sense. What is the issue here exactly? I understand that the Torah wants to convey to us who Bilam was, how hateful he was, and as we read yesterday in Rashi's commentary, that Bilam actually hated the Jewish people more than Balak. Why? Balak had cause celebre, or good reason. What was he looking for? Survival. He said, these people, they threaten my survival. So he said, just get them out of my life. Just get them out of the region. They don't want to threaten me. And Bilam asked, let me get out of this world. He wanted to get rid of the Jewish people. He was still obsessed with his final solution and probably so frustrated it didn't work the first time. And now the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. And here we are 38 years later, or 39 years later, they're out of Mitzrayim. And Bilam's like, darn, it didn't work. They managed to get out of Mitzrayim. And now here they are, and they're a mighty nation. And now they're marching on Canaan, and all the prophecies are coming true. And he couldn't stand it. Okay, so now you'll know another rung in the depths of his moral depravity, that he hated the Jewish people so badly, he was prepared, he's prepared to saddle his own donkey in this quest, this hateful quest of coming to curse the Jewish people. Okay, big deal. Rashi could have stopped right there. Mikan, we could say, Shasinim Mechakel Sasashura, and how do we know Hasinim Mechakel Sasashura? Sharei Chovashu Ba'atzmai, because he himself went ahead and saddled the donkey. Period. What does Rashi add the next few words? Agan Samaise, a story. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now begins the commentary. God said, oh, Rasha, wicked person, you saddle the donkey. You disfigure yourself with hate. You are the one who transcends appropriateness and etiquette just because you're burning with this animosity and acrimony. Ha, don't worry about it. Kvar Kidemcha Avraham Avihim. What's Kvar Kidemcha? Why do you need Avraham Avinu here? Why was Avraham needed in some ways to counterweight or to be the opposite of Bilam? This is the question. And luckily enough, the Rebbe answers this question. I never saw another answer for it. Page Samach, Simin Vav, in the Birei HaChumash. And the Rebbe opens up with the quest for a better understanding of this Rashi. And he says, Mikach Shakadosh Baruch Hu Amar LeBilam, from the very fact that God says to Bilam, Rasha Kvar Kidemcha Avram Avinim, wicked person, Avram Avinim, has already prefaced, he's already been here first. Mashma, it seems, Shechavishas Ha'osain Al Yedei Bilam, that the saddling of the donkey, by virtue of Bilam's own hands, Haisa Asuya Lihichoshev Lischusei, in somehow is going to count as a merit. And somehow it's going to be assisting Bilam in his quest. It'll aid in his desire to curse the Jewish people. Ella, Shehovdo. But the fact is, Avram Avim has already been there first. And because Avram Avim has already been there first, so that's why, Sichlo es Kavanose Shel Bilam. This in some way thwarted the intention of Bilam. What does that mean? Ulachera hadaver matmiya. This is astonishing. Keitzad yochal ho yamaisa she'eni ela biti l'sina. How can an act which is but an expression of hate? L'choshev, how can that be counted? L'zuchusay shel Bilam. Why would that be a merit for Bilam? Bilam is so great, he hated. Hate is ugly, hate is bad. There's nothing redeeming in hate per se. I once had to sit on a panel, and it was about hate in Judaism. So I asked a famous lecturer, who everybody thinks is very smart, but really, I'm not going to say who it is. The famous lecturer at the time, this is going back a good 18 years ago. I happened to be in New York, and I bumped into him. I said, I have to sit on this panel. What do you think? He said, of course, you have to hate. Tachlas sinis anesim, you have to hate the Yetzirah, you have to hate. Of course, Jews hate. Hate is a very important part in Torah. All right. And then a little while later, the same morning, I bumped into the Chayzer of the Rebbe's Torah, the one who used to record, the human tape recorder used to record all the Rebbe's Torah, Rabbi Elkan, whose brilliance is by far outpaces everybody else. So I said, Rabbi El, ich kenne chefshe bis fregen, can I ask you something? He looked at me and was like, sets his big eyes on you like, what do you want? So I said, explain to him the situation. I have to sit in this panel and talk about hate. And I said, I spoke to somebody else, you know. And he said, of course, it doesn't sit right with me, but he said, of course, hate is a very important part. And the Biel said, are you a meshuga, he tells me. If meshuga, he says, feint haben, goyet feint. Hate, he says, goyet hate. He doesn't have hate. Are you out of your mind, he says. He says, we loathe evil. We don't hate evil. So hate is a positive thing. Hate is, you hate, you actively hate. We don't actively hate anything. We have to look at things, and we have to love Kedusha. And because we love Kedusha, because we love holiness, because we love God, because we love our fellow Yid, because there's all these things we love, so then the flip side is going to be that the things that get in the way of that, the things that threaten the existence of the Jewish people, be it terrorists or the enemies of Am Yisrael, whoever it may be, we loathe. We don't hate. He says, hate is when you want the enemy dead and to suffer. We just want the enemy not to be there. That's it. I said, hate? This meshuga? This meshuga? Hate? Hate is a terrible thing. Hate has nothing to do with a yid, he said. A yid doesn't hate. A yid loves. So how does hate, so Bilam is not Jewish for him. Hate is a virtue. How could hate be a virtue of anybody? Hate can't be good. It can't be. Loathsomeness, repulsiveness, disgusted by something, that fits. Hate doesn't fit. So the Rebbe explains, Behemshech HaParsha Metzinu, as you'll continue to stay with us, and we'll learn this Parsha and see the different things that Bilam does, you'll find out, Kishe Bilam Neichech L'das HaKadosh Baruch Hu Einu Meniach Le'Lekal Les Yisrael, Bilam starts to find out the hard way that God said what he meant and meant what he said, and you ain't cursing the Jewish people. It's not going to happen. So what does Bilam do then? He doesn't give up so fast. Nisa lekatreg aleim. He sought to make them look bad. He sought in some way to muster negativity against them, and ulahaskir asavinaseim, to mention their sins. Why was he doing that? Betikva, Bilam had hope. Shebekach, that in mentioning the sins and bringing the sins to mind and light, Maybe then he will be able to curse the Jewish people. Like Rashi says on the Pasuk, which we're going to read later on in chapter 24, the beginning of chapter 24, it says, Bilam saw that it was good in the eyes of God to bless the Jewish people. He turned his face towards the wilderness. And Rashi says, he says, I want, but somehow I don't want to curse them. All right, at least I'll mention their sins. The sin, the mentioning of sins, the bringing to mind of sins, will bring about a fertile ground in which curses can prosper and grow. This is where they can fester. I'll create an environment for curses to fester. The Rebbe says, unbelievable chiddush. Do you know what Bilam was trying to do here? Even before he failed, he already thought it's a good idea to bring out certain points, to act certain things out. So Bilam says, "Kavanasa shel Bilam b'kach shechava she'sa'osim ba'atzmei." This was not mindless. This is not just he happened to hate, so he happened. No. This was choreographed. He did this publicly. He made it very clear. Shahasinu mekakel sasashura. He wanted to demonstrate that hate has a nature of disfigurement. That's what hate does. It destroys etiquette and appropriateness. It transcends it. L'ramez lekach, what he was trying to say is that the Jewish people's inappropriateness, pa'omim rabbeis b'midbar, multiple times in the desert, was really coming from what? It's coming from hate, he said, because these Yidden hate. That's why they act inappropriate, because they hate. And he wanted to point it out. U'bekach lekate galeim, and in doing so, to bring out negativity, chas v'sholem, and in doing so, to awaken or to somehow rouse kaisei the anger shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu aleihem. And it was precisely for this. Omar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Almighty God says to Bilam, Russia, wicked person, you think you're going to behave inappropriately and thusly to cast a light on the inappropriateness of the Jewish people. Kvar kidemcha Avram Avim, their father Avram has already come first. In other words, zuchusei shel Avram, the merit of Avram, shachovesh asachamer ba'atzmei l'akedis Yitzchok, he himself saddled a donkey when it came time to go to the Akedah. And what was that? That was also mikakel sasashura. That was also inappropriate, if you will, not according to the scale of normal, typical, expected behavior. But over there, the unexpected reality came as a result of not hate, but rather ahava, ha'ava mikakelas. And that's, this is, in a sense, mino ed mireish, it, so to speak, restrained from the beginning, the afshadish, the possibility for Bilam to build anything on his foundation of hate, which is mikakelas asashura. The Rebbe finishes off here with what this intimates from a mystical and spiritual avodas Hashem lesson in serving God perspective. He says, Le'itim, sometimes, kaya matzav shal sinu mikalkel sasashura. Sometimes we have a situation where inappropriateness festers, and it comes from hate. Whose hate? Not a Yid's hate. Hayetzahara besinose le'yetzatev. The Yetzahara hates. Who does the Yetzahara hate? He hates the Yetzatev. He hates the positive inclination. He hates the neshama and the positive side. He hates anything good for Kedusha. And therefore, machshala sa'adam bechet, he has a person stumble in sin. He gets him to do things which are totally inappropriate, off the charts. The person himself says, I can't believe I did that. How did I end up doing that? How did I fall so low? And he says, this is totally beyond the pale. So what's the answer? And it happened. Can't deny it. Behaved inappropriately. Did things which are really not nice. He's, the person himself is ashamed of it. I can't believe I did that. Why could the Yitzhahara, with hatred, with his anger, he managed to thwart and get the person to behave totally inappropriately. Hatikun lekach. Do you know what the counterweight, the counterbalance, you know how you fight fire? With fire. The answer is ava mekalkel sasashura. There's one other thing which also has the ability to abrogate etiquette and appropriateness. And that's great love. Love which goes beyond the call of duty, a love that goes beyond the limits of nature. Like it says in the book of Tanya, that tshuva that comes me'ahava, that comes from love, a restoration of one's Yiddishkeit, a return to Hashem that's motivated by great love, from the very depths of the heart, ba'ava rabba v'chasheka, with great love and yearning and craving and desire, v'nefesh shekeka, a soul that thirsts, l'davka be'yizbarech, yesh ba'koyach l'taken esachet kolu. This can actually fully rectify the devastating consequences of sin. Va'af, and even la'hoshev l'tchum kedusha, to restore to the scrimmage of holiness, the nitzutzeis, the sparks that fell into the wrong jurisdiction as a result of the sins. This is, as the Gemara says, the words of the Gemara, Numa zedoinois, inequity, mistakes, rebellion, mutiny, nasalek zochias, now are considered to be merits. You actually can transform demerits and make them meritorious. And that's when there's this idea of ava. The alava rabazu, and on this great love, nemar, it says, kvar kidemcha Avram avim, their father Avram, he's been there already. Shekin hakoyach la'ava zu, a yid has to know that he or she, every one of us, has the power. How do you have the power? It sounds like such a daunting, difficult, challenging to muster such ava. You have it. Because where does it come from? It comes from Avram Avinu. And Avram, as our father, has implanted a piece of himself in our spiritual DNA. We have Avram Avinu inside us. And if Avram Avinu could transcend rhyme and reason and typical behavior because of Ahava Rabba, if a yid sinned, all he or she needs to do is muster the positive energy, the Ahava Lashem, that eclipses the negativity, it gets rid of the Yetzirah, and it puts us back where we belong. With this lesson, we shall conclude today. Afelech and Yud Beis Tamas.